Ephesians chapter 6 with me. And Chris, would you just turn the lights on, please, as well? We won't have the PowerPoint today. We come to the Word of God. And actually, I know I said Ephesians 6, but we're going to start in Ephesians 5 because we want to go to verses 18 through 21, which, as I said before, that's like the linchpin of chapters 4, 5, and 6. It's the centerpiece that brings the walk, all that talk about the walk from chapters 4 and 5, and applies it then into the marriage, the family, parents and children, and relationships between masters and servants, so in the workplace, all right? So Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, and then Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, that's going to be our scripture reading. We are also planning to look briefly at Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to put a bookmark in Deuteronomy 6, and 2 Timothy 3. So if you want to bookmark 2 Timothy 3 and Deuteronomy 6, we will plan to get to those in the sermon. But we want to begin with the reading of God's Word and just let the Word of God minister to your hearts this morning as we ask the Spirit of God to take His Word and apply it in our lives. Ephesians 5 and verses 18 through 21 and chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. This is the Word of God. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which gives us truth and wisdom in abundance. Truly, Lord, you are the fullness of what is light, what is good, what is beautiful, what is true, what is honorable. And as we come to your word, O God, we ask that you would humble us, that as we come, so many thoughts, so many attitudes, so many actions throughout this week have been centered in self. And we even in this moment confess it, Lord, and say, please forgive us and help us, O God, to receive your word meekly and humbly, that you would do a mighty work which only you can through the power of your Spirit to take your word, to prick our hearts, to expose every thought of our heart, that every intention, every plan that we have made, may it all be laid bare before you. And as we come and see in the mirror of your word, may we turn from it and not be hearers only of it, but doers of your word. So God, fill us with your Spirit to obey, to put into practice these glorious gospel truths as parents, as children, as followers of Jesus Christ. Help us to obey you. And may you be glorified in all the little moments throughout our days as we serve you, as we walk with you, as we enjoy you, and as we live out before a lost and dying world the beauty of the gospel and the grace which you have given us in Christ. So, Lord, help me as I speak, that I not falter and fail in speech, but even in my weakness, Lord, may your power be evident through what your word says and what your Spirit alone can do. So we submit all things to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. There are two God-ordained institutions which he calls good and which he has blessed, which are particularly under attack by the enemy. Satan hates the church, and Satan hates God's plan for the family. We've dealt with the church throughout Ephesians, but the commitment to and the service within and the utilization of your gifts and talents and abilities for the glory of God and for the edification of a local church, that is under attack. But so too is God's beautiful, good, blessed plan for the family, which is why we see so many agendas in our world which are at some point bringing an attack on the family. There's all kinds of labels that they'll use. They'll label it patriarchal. They'll label it this. They'll label it oppressive. They'll label it. There's all kinds of labels and attacks. But friends, they are skewed. For they do not come based on what the Word of God teaches, but based on things that they have seen that they, in their judgment, have arrived at a conclusion that is not accurate. And so God gives us a good and beautiful plan for the family. There is the decline in birth rates across the Western world. There is the redefinition of the family. There is the breakdown of what has been held as the building block, the foundation of society, father, mother, and children. There is the increase in abortion. In Ireland, every day, there are 18 abortions across this country. Why is it that the family is under attack? Why is it that children in the womb are not safe? It is because the world has deviated from what God says is right and good. And we need look no further than God Himself to see the character that is displayed in godly fathers and mothers. For remember, in Genesis, God made mankind in His own image. He made them male and female. So any character trait, any quality that you see in a father or a mother that is good and in line with the Word of God, you will ultimately find that in God the Father. He is the perfect expression of all those good qualities, the tender and compassion and patience, you know, the correction and love and instruction. Any quality that you see that is good, you will find it in God. Notice what 1 John instructs us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We have a good Father who has bestowed His love on us, so much so that He calls us His children. Come back to Ephesians 1 with me for a moment. Let us just briefly build on that thought. What have we seen in Ephesians already? Go to Ephesians 1 and verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That's just a snippet of how good our Father is and how His love has been displayed, that in sending Christ, He has bought for Himself a people who He has adopted as His own children, who He has lavished His blessing upon, who He has chosen, whom He has set apart in holiness and in love, who He has accepted as His beloved. Amazing things that our Father has given unto us. Notice with me as we go to chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And he goes on from there. Again, we can draw close to the Father in love because of the Son. He hears our prayers and he answers prayer. He answers exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That is how good he is. That is how awesome he is. You have access to him at any moment. You remember growing up as a kid, how often you came to mom or dad. You got a question. You know, dad, can we do this? Dad, can we do that? Mom, can we do this? And you're constantly going to them for attention. Friends, we have a Father who delights to hear his children cry out, Abba, Father. And we can come to him, and he answers our prayer, and he strengthens us with his might, and he grants to us things we could not have even imagined. That's how good he is. Then in chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. We are called as children of God to walk in obedience to him. We are his dear children. We walk in love because he first loved us. And so everything that we're basing on children and parents and the interaction between that, it is all based in the love of God. It is all based in the love that the Father had for the Son, and in the love that the Father and the Son displayed on the cross, and in the power that the Spirit has to enable us to do these things which we are called to. We can't live this good plan between children and parents in our own strength and wisdom. That will never happen. We'll break down again and again and again. Arguments will be nonstop. You come in sometimes, maybe even from a week, and you're like, I just feel like I've been through a whirlwind. We need the grace of God. We need the Spirit to help us in this area and to give thanks to God and submit ourselves to him and to one another. We'll come to this point of how do children submit to their parents? How do parents submit to their children? Interesting thought, not one you often consider, but the text in verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another. So how does that look between child and parent? We come down here to verse 1, and we see number 1 on our outline, the Christ-like child. In verse 1, children are directly addressed. As this letter would have been read to the congregation in Ephesus, the children would have been there, and it would have been all of a sudden, your attention, your ears perk up. Children, in the middle of the letter, can you imagine? Children. And they look up. Yes? What? This is about us now? Yes, it's always been about you. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How often has that been quoted in Christian homes down through the years? Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Obedience to your parents is your action. Okay? This is your duty. This is what you are to do. As a child, you are to obey your parents. It means to hear and listen to an authority over you. Okay? To hear or listen to the authority over you. To listen attentively, recognizing their authority, and then acting in obedience to what they have said. You get the full picture of that word obey? It's a big picture. Hear and listen attentively to the authority, recognize that authority, and then act in obedience to what they have said. The only grounds you ever have, children, for disobedience is when your parents are doing or saying something that directly violates the Word of God. Children that have been abused, children that have been told to do things like steal or whatever, this is wrong, you must disobey, and you must, by God's grace, we must help children who are in situations like that because it is wrong. They must be protected. Listen, Jesus talks about children so often, and he gives very stark warnings for those who would harm children. He says, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you come to him as a little child. We've already seen that in Ephesians, haven't we? We've already seen that in 1 John 3. So children are elevated. In the Roman world, they would have been weak, the weak link of society. If the father, when the child was placed before him, did not pick that child up and basically affirm, yes, I am receiving this child, this is mine own, if he didn't do that, the child could be sold or discarded. And what Paul is saying here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is children, obey your parents, for this is right. There's an aspect of this for the parent. You have a responsibility to your children. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll come to that in a moment, okay? Notice at the end of the verse, children, it says, this is right. Don't miss that point out. You're obeying your parents in the Lord. As you obey your parents, you are obeying the Lord. That's important. Because you love God, obey your parents. Because in so doing, you're obeying what God says. And God says that this is right. That means this is good. This is righteous. This is virtuous. This is acceptable to him. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul writes this, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It is right, it is good, it is pleasing to God. That should make you say, that is exactly what I want to do. I want to do and live what pleases God. And in so doing, I will respond to my parents in obedience. Children, because you love God, you must obey your parents. This is what is right and pleasing in his sight. Letter B, honor your parents. Honor your parents. Notice in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The word honor there, this is referring to attitude and disposition. Okay, before it was action and duty, this is your attitude, this is the way you carry yourself, this is the motivation, this is your body language, we can say, right? This is the nonverbal communication you give in that act of obedience. And it is to be honorable, it is to be respectful, it is to be loving, it is to be valuing your parents. You should value your parents because God has given them to you for a good reason. To love you, to provide for you, to protect you, to teach you. God has given you parents for a good reason. So honor them, respect them, love them, listen to them. It is very possible, children, to obey your parents without honoring them. How many times have you been told, go clean your room? Or, you know, please bring the rubbish down. And you do so by kicking something. Muttering to yourself, when I am a parent, I'll never make my kids bring down the rubbish. They can leave their stuff out in their room as much as they want. Friends, that attitude is not honorable. So though the action may have taken place, if the attitude is wrong in it, you know, your mother calls you for dinner, you come grumbling and kicking and, you know, moping down the hallway. You've dishonored your parents. You have violated this verse, and it is not right. It is not good. This teaching is grounded in the law, in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Your father and mother love you, children, and they are seeking to bring you up to love the Lord and serve him. So obey them and honor them and learn from them. We notice that the end of the verse says, this is the first commandment with promise. And what this is it's the announcement of a good blessing, of a promise that God has made. And we find that in verse 3. We kind of read it already in Exodus, but it's a little bit tweaked in a sense in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 3 as we see the promised blessing. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There we have it. That it may be well with thee, and you may live long on the earth. A full, good, and blessed life comes from this relationship with your parents, honoring them and obeying them. For those of you who are adults, as a side note, before we dig into that a little bit more, as a side note, if you have parents that are not believers, You can still honor them. Though you may no longer be under their house, though you may no longer be under their authority, you can still honor your parents. You may not be in a place of obedience to them in certain respects. We won't dive into all the nuances of that, but we will say this. You still ought to honor them and respect them. Even if you have to disagree with them, even if they are in the wrong, even if you're seeking to win them for Christ, honor them and love them, even if it's difficult. Even if there's history and baggage and hurt. Go to the Lord about those things. Ask that He help you have the grace to overcome that baggage and then reach out to minister to your parents. So, the promised blessing, that it may be well with thee and you may live long on the earth. So, this does not mean that a child who passes away at a young age or a young person that passes away, it does not necessarily mean that they were disobedient or dishonoring their parents, okay? Though it may be. Okay, we will withhold judgment on that. We will leave that to the Lord. But what this does mean is this. Children, if you want to have a good and prosperous and blessed life, then it will begin with your relationship to your parents. Because they're the ones that are to be teaching you about God. They're the ones that are to be instilling in you an understanding of God's character and of the gospel. And therefore, as they are teaching you, as you're obeying them, as you're honoring them, they will be shaping you in a way that will set you up for how to live in a good and right way with the Lord, no matter what you face in life. This is God's good plan. This is a beautiful plan, and it is to lead to the blessing and prosperity of the children who grow up in that situation so that they will have the tools and will be equipped from a young age to go out into the world and to live for Christ and not be shaken by the attacks that come. This equipping is to be taking place in the home so that they may live long on the earth, in the sense that they live a prosperous life, for they live in obedience to the Lord. It's interesting to me that if you go to Romans 1 and 2 Timothy 3, and you read these lists of really gruesome sins, in both of those lists, one of the things that stands out is this phrase, disobedient to parents. It is a serious sin, and it is not treated as such by the culture. We as Christians see disobedience to be a serious sin, for it is not just disobedience to your parent, but you are in fact disobeying God, and that is going to lead to a life where you continually disobey God. Do you see that? Serious things. And so, children, you are loved by God, you are loved by your parents. God has a good plan for you, and it begins with these statements. Obey your parents and honor your parents because you love God and you want to obey and honor God. If you have had a bad attitude towards your parents, if you would look back as a kid here this morning and would say, you know, I have been really bad lately. I've been doing my own thing. I haven't listened. I've just been focused on what I'm doing and what I'm playing and not listening right away. I've had a bad attitude. Then come and ask God to forgive you, and He will. But not only that, ask God to help you obey this week and honor your parents, and He will. And so catch yourself during the week, even as you're about to do something wrong, stop and say, Lord, help me now to obey and honor my parents. Okay? Secondly, we consider the Christ-like parent. The Christ-like parent in verses 1 through 4. You say, go back to verses 1 through 3, and I think what we need to pull out of these three verses is a principle that is very important that we might miss out and if we just jump to verse 4. Hey, look, the parents are addressed there in verse 4. Let's just deal with that. No, verses 1 through 3 gives us a very important role and responsibility, and it is this. Parents are ambassadors. Parents are ambassadors. You think about it. When you've been in a big city, and you've gone down to that section of the city where all the embassies are, and you see the flags flying, and you see the offices of, you know, this country or that country or whatever, and you go in there to get your paperwork done and all these things, you know that the person who runs that office has a very important responsibility. Their country has selected them and vested authority and responsibility in them that they would go to another country and represent their home country. Do you think it's important at those banquets or those get-togethers or those events or those times when the ambassadors come together? Do you think it's important the way they carry themselves? The way that they talk to people? The way that they handle various situations? Do you think their relationship with the host countries representatives is important? Absolutely it is. If you ever see in the news that they've removed the embassy, right, or the ambassador has left the country, that's usually a big red flag saying there's something wrong going on, okay? That country has removed their representative from that country. Something's going down. Who is God's ambassador in the home? Whom has God placed in the home to represent his character, to teach his word, to explain and teach and live out the gospel? Who has God vested authority and responsibility in to lovingly shepherd and teach children? Father and mother. Parents, you are God's ambassador in the home. It is a huge thing to consider. Notice verse 1. Children, obey whom? Your parents. In the Lord. God has vested in you an authority that is not your own. Don't treat parenting as ownership alone. Okay, let me qualify that. I own these kids, therefore they must do what I say. I put the food on the table, therefore they must submit. No. An ambassadorial calling and responsibility is your submission to your children. You are going to be present in the home. You are going to spend time with them in the home. You are going to teach them in the home. You're going to be a representative of God's character in the home. Your tone of voice, your nonverbal communication, your body language, your attitude, the way you carry yourself in the home, that is to be a reflection of God's character, his authority. You see why we need to be filled with the Spirit in order to fulfill this? You and I, when reading this, that they are to honor us and obey us in the Lord, we would quail from that kind of responsibility in our own strength. Because how often do you enter the home and treat it as like, I'm the king of this house, I own this place, you must obey. And there are strict penalties for those who disobey. Is that how God has treated us? Yes, there's a place for correction and discipline, but it is done by a merciful God, a loving God, a gracious God, who restores us, who doesn't sulk, who doesn't beat us down verbally, who does not come in and stir up anger and bitterness in us. He is gracious, he is patient, he is loving, he is merciful, he is kind, he is meek. He has all power, and yet that power is under control. He exhibits self-control. You must do so, parents. I must do so. We must not lose self-control in the home. We cannot afford to be lazy, complacent, self-absorbed parents. We must be active ambassadors as we represent Christ's character in the home. We must be committed to teaching the gospel. In those moments where they have disobeyed you, where they have dishonored you, where they're throwing a tantrum, it is so easy to just send them to the room or to just bring down this correction or whatever it is, but to stop and ask the questions and say, do you realize in this moment you are sinning? And it's not nice. It's bad and ugly. It hurts us as a family. It displeases God. This is not what he has in store for us. Talk through those things with their children. Help them to see their sin. And then help them to see the gospel. But look, though you've sinned, and though I've sinned against you, sometimes we have to be transparent with our kids when we have sinned and shouted at them. We come to them humbly and say, look, I sinned against you. I shouldn't have done that. And I've gone to the Lord and confessed it to him. I've asked him to forgive me, and he has. And now I'm coming to you and saying, please forgive me. I should not have spoken to you in that way. And then shine the spotlight on them when they have done so, and point them to confession and forgiveness and grace and restoration in your relationship, so that bitterness and a divide is not built between you. Someone will teach your children. Someone will be an ambassador. Someone will be active in shaping them. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be the friends at school who shape them? Is it going to be some influence outside of the home? Is it going to be someone on social media? They call themselves many times influencers. They're not hiding anything. They're telling you what they're doing. They're ambassadors for their worldview, and they want to shape your children to think and act and look and live the way they do. That's their goal. Whom has God placed in the home to have that role? The parents. So if we are not active as parents in this area, who is taking that role? Come to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we read this incredible passage. I just want to, we won't make much comment on it, but I would like you to see it with me, because it's so amazing to look back, way back in the law, and see what God said there, because it is so similar to what we're seeing here, and I think there's some really helpful points of edification. Let's look at verses 1 through 7. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commands, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Continually, diligently teaching your children. Do you see that? Do you see how many elements of Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 are coming from what was given to Israel in that law? This is God's good plan. This is good for your life, that you would obey God. And in so doing, parents, we would teach our children who God is. We serve one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But notice with me, not only is this to be a daily thing, not only is it a continual ambassadorial role, not only are we teaching them to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, but look, we are teaching them. And in verse 4, that's letter B there, we are teachers, not just ambassadors. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? Now, fathers and mothers are to be teaching in the home. Okay? But what is being addressed here is that oftentimes we as fathers can have a tendency to be distracted by work and other responsibilities, and teaching children becomes like a side thing. Well, that's women's work. They'll do that. Fathers, you must take an active role in teaching your children. It's not an option. Mothers, we know that God has placed within many of you this drive to teach your children, and it's a beautiful and good thing. But fathers, you must not slack off. We must be active. But notice this about teaching our children. We are not to provoke them. Okay? So there's a negative first. Provoke not your children to wrath. Don't provoke them. Don't rouse them to wrath or anger. This idea is don't exasperate them. It's a good term, okay? Exasperate. Don't drive them to the point where they're just like, you know that expulsion, like, ugh. Have you seen that frustration in a child that is in that situation and they're being provoked and they can't do anything about it and they're just, you can see it seeping out of them like a kettle, you know? The steam is just coming out. Fathers, you're not to provoke your children in that way. You are not to teach them in that way. In that sense, you're teaching them, I'm stronger, bigger, wiser than you. I'm the one with the money, and you're just going to have to come along for the ride. If I make a joke, you're just going to have to take it. You can't outwit me. If you can't do what I can do, like, you're just weak. These are the things that go on. And it's damaging to a child to have a father who provokes them in that way as they look at them and say, I'm just frustrated. Because there's not that compassion and that grace and that tenderness and that gentleness that ought to be there if we are drawing near to the Lord, if we are submitting to Him, and if we are filled by His Spirit through obedience to His Word, we ought not to be fathers or mothers who are provoking children in that way. It's very easy to do. And when we do it, we must stop and say, I've done wrong. Please forgive me. I said that thing. I did that thing. It frustrated and flustered them. And I went too far. It was wrong. Now, that also doesn't mean that we flip-flop to the other side where the children run the home, right? Okay, we understand that. Don't misread what I'm saying here. But what we're saying is this. We want to see the gospel on display in the home. And it's going to start with, parents, are you teaching your children and representing Christ in the home? And children, are you obeying them and honoring them in the Lord? I remember when I was a dorm supervisor for 3 years, I had about 60 or so young men between the ages of 18 and 23 that I was responsible for, that I was counseling with, and all kinds of stuff that went on. This was at a Christian university. And I remember the first week was always very interesting because when the new students came, the parents often came with them to drop them off. So you're getting to know a student for the first time that you're going to be ministering to throughout the year, and you're meeting the parents for the first time. And I'll never forget this dad coming in with this huge, you know, American football player student and looking at me and saying, in front of his son, and saying, well, I couldn't fix him, so you're going to have to figure it out. And I just stared at him like, what? And I said to myself, this is going to be a real challenging situation, because if that's the kind of parenting that has gone on, then how is the student going to react to me as the dorm supervisor? You know what I mean? Like, it's not my job to fix him. I can't do that, you know? Like, and I looked at the dad kind of like, what? What are you expecting of me? You are his father. And ultimately, if you have a grace-based, gospel-centered view of parenting, you realize you can't fix them. What you can do is you can feed them with and nurture them with the gospel and the word of God, and by God's grace, He will fix them. But it's going to be coming through not only you actively teaching them and not teaching them wrongly by provoking them and being that representative and ambassador, but look at what happens next in the verse. Look at the next phrase. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Three statements we need to look at briefly. Number one, or it's actually number two on your outline, bring them up. So bringing them up means to nourish and train up to maturity in all areas of life. To bring them up is to nourish and train to maturity in all areas of life. That's what the word means. So it means that intellectually, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, anything, sexually, all of that is the priority and the responsibility of the parent to teach and mature and nourish their children. No one else, first and foremost. Yes, your kids may go to school, right? But who is to take the lead in this growth to maturity, it is father and mother that are to do so. We ought not to say, well, they'll cover that in school. Or their friends will introduce them to that. Or they'll figure it out on YouTube. No way. Not a chance. The Bible gives you no space for that because it says you are to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Love it. Nurture means the whole training and education and cultivation of a child's morals and character. It's the whole training and education of them, cultivating their morals and character. You, by your discipline, by your teaching, by your correction, ought never to be doing these things in anger or in an arbitrary sense. They should see justice. They should see truth. They should hear clearly from you as you explain and talk through the situation. Even with little ones, we know this. Kids can pick out hypocrisy and double standards very, very quickly. They're smart, okay? It doesn't take them long to figure out they've been wronged in some way. They have a drive and a hunger for justice and what is right. And you as a parent should take that drive and cultivate it in a right way by pointing them back to Christ, okay? So we have to be careful then, how are we bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord? Are we making promises and not keeping them? Are we showing favoritism? Is there neglect going on? Are they a priority, or has something else become the priority by way of our time? Not only are we bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord, but also the verse says, in the admonition of the Lord. Admonition is referring to exhortation, instruction, warning, and wise counsel. You're to train them up with words of encouragement, and at other times, words of correction, saying, you have done wrong, you may not go this way. It's because I love you that I will correct you, because I will not watch you go that way. As your parent, I will teach you. I will engage with you in these areas and teach you what is right in the sight of the Lord. And that is key. The goal here in the verse cannot be missed. The last statement, of the Lord. The not provoking, the bringing them up, the nurture, the admonition, the goal of it all is the Lord. It's all that they might see and come to know the Lord and love him with all their heart. It is that they would grow up into Christ's likeness because their parents have taught it and modeled it for them. The parents have modeled confession and asking for forgiveness. The parents have modeled humility. This is how parents submit to their children, right? I said that statement before, and at first you hear that and you're like, that doesn't sound right. Parents don't submit to their children. We are submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Children, you submit by obeying and honoring your parents. Parents, you submit by taking on board the responsibility God has given you as ambassador and teacher. And you say, that is of utmost importance in my life. Not my hobby, not what I want to do, not how my holiday needs to go, but how can I teach my children, love them, spend time with them, and raise them up to love the Lord? That's how you submit to them. Your plans have now been shifted from what you want, when you want it, to how am I going to minister to them and show them Christ-likeness. Does that make sense? We understand that. There's an authority that you have, and you are to then act that out in the home. So, 2 Timothy here. Let's come to 2 Timothy for just some concluding thoughts before we draw it all to a close. 2 Timothy 3, we read in verses 12 through 17, a great example of what we have been talking about. In 2 Timothy 3, and in verse 12, we read this. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Okay? That's what's going on out there. it's going to get worse and worse by way of seducing and deceiving and lying and deception. That's what's going on out there. Here's the contrast now. Here's the beauty and the goodness, the wholesomeness of the Christian home. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's it. Timothy, remember, you grew up in a Christian home. His grandmother and mother are specifically identified earlier on as these ones were teaching you faithfully. Regardless of what the situation was with Timothy's father, we're unsure on some of the details there, the mother and the grandmother were actively teaching him from the scriptures. From a child, Timothy grew up hearing the gospel and came to faith in Jesus Christ and saw how the scriptures were used as the inspired word of God to bring doctrine, what is right, sound teaching, reproof, okay, what is wrong, what you should not do, correction, okay, how to get right when you've done wrong, instruction, how you go forward. Actually, the word instruction there, this is interesting, same Greek word as nurture in our text, same word. So bringing them up in the instruction, in the nurture, in righteousness. It comes from the Word of God. Parents, we must be in the Word. We must be submitted to the Word. We must be filled with the Spirit of God as we come to the Lord in prayer and say, help me by your strength and grace to do this, to be an active, loving, Christ-like, humble parent. And then, by God's grace, we see it put into practice as we take God's Word and we teach it to our children. As we close, perhaps one of you is sitting here this morning and you would say, you talk about Father, I have a lot of baggage in my past and that has skewed my understanding of God the Father. Friends, if there's someone here that is not a believer, you've never come to God in obedience, in submission, in repentance and faith, then this morning I hope you would have seen that what God has in store for us is a good and beautiful plan in Jesus Christ. If you refuse him, if you reject him, you will face the condemnation that comes with that decision. It is a separation from God in the sense that you are placed in a place of eternal punishment. Christ has come to take that condemnation. He has come to face that wrath so you don't have to. That is the depths of the love that the Father, the Son, have for you. Will you repent this morning, turn from your sin, and put your trust in Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again? Place your faith in Jesus this morning. This morning, if you are a child, hopefully you have heard in the passage this morning how important it is as you go into this week, ask God to help you this week to obey and honor and love your parents as you go through the week. When you do wrong, ask them to forgive you and then ask God to help you do what is right. Parents, grandparents, are we seeing opportunities? Are we fulfilling this role God has given us as ambassadors, as teachers in our home? Who is influencing your children? Who is teaching your children? Who is taking the initiative to tell them about whatever subject? Who is engaging with them? Are we bringing the gospel to bear on every single situation, shepherding, teaching, instructing our children? Perhaps there's something you need to repent of, the way you've treated them, the time that you've spent elsewhere, whatever it may be. Go to the Lord with that, ask for his grace and forgiveness, and then go home this afternoon and let us see restoration within the families. And may we go forward as families and as a church family, loving and serving and teaching and training and building one another up in this glorious gospel of God's grace. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we so thank you that we can come to you with absolutely everything that we have gone through and everything we will go through, and know that we have a good and gracious and patient Father who loves us. Thank you for the gift of your Son, his death on the cross to conquer our sin, his resurrection from the grave to defeat death. And so, Lord, we come to you and we ask you would help us. Help us to be honest, open, humble, and transparent, to acknowledge when we have failed as ambassadors of the gospel, when we have failed to teach the gospel clearly, when we have failed to obey or honor our parents. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for those things and help us to do what is right, regardless of what their response is. Help us to do what is right out of a love for you. And so, Lord, please build up and strengthen families here in this local church. May our local church keep this focus on serving you faithfully, on being involved and active and encouraging one another, building one another up, and investing in the lives of these children, that we would love them and teach them and instruct them in your word, in your gospel. And so, Lord, please give us that promised blessing on those who walk in obedience to you as we serve you and walk with you through everything we face in this life. We come to you with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.